Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. We're pleased to welcome as our guest State Senator Daniel DuPont, Democrat of East Providence, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for the invitation to be here.
World financial markets were rocked last week when news broke of the UK vote to leave the European Union. Our guest, Senator DuPont, works as an investment advisor, and he missed the signing of the state budget last Friday because his phone was ringing off the hook with concerned investors. Senator, what's your perspective on what the long-term impact of the Brexit vote will be for people here in Rhode Island?
I'm not sure. I think, you know, the longer-term impact will be what the eventual impact may be on a global economic slowdown. And obviously, we have been in the unfortunate position in Rhode Island to usually be the first or one of the first into a slowdown and one of the last to recover. So I think that really is the question that remains, is if this is the beginning of a global economic slowdown, and given our history of being impacted early on and being recovering much later on, I think that still remains to be seen. But I think in just global terms, I think there are still many unanswered questions. So I think the typical or the average Rhode Islander should not be overly concerned specifically about, you know, what the impact of Brexit will have on them in, you know, the next 3 to 6 months even.
It seems like this vote was propelled by anger, and there are a lot of people who are riled up in the U.S., including in Rhode Island, and feeling left behind by the economy. Your party, the Democrats, has controlled the General Assembly for about 80 years. What do you say to those people who feel that the Democratic Party has not gotten it done in Rhode Island on the economy?
Well, I think we've made a number of important and systematic changes. A few of them I've particularly been involved with, major changes to our tax reform and tax code, whether it be on the personal income tax side, on the corporate income tax side. You know, we had, I think, systems that were much more punitive than they could have or should have been, much more complex than they needed to be. And so I think we've started to take, you know, steps in the right direction while also having the challenges of an economic slowdown and continuing to make the investments that we've been trying to make that really weren't made for 30, 40, 50 years. And I think the important thing to note is that recoveries and strategic investments such as the ones that we've started to make, you know, they take time to be made. There's a certain amount of time required to see the dividends on those investments.
All right, let's go to Scott.
Rhode Island's ninth largest trading partner is the UK, the United Kingdom. So couldn't this have an impact on jobs here? People like Tayco. Good jobs, good manufacturing jobs here in Rhode Island, they export to the UK. And I talked to the president, John White, who said, you know, this uncertainty, particularly with the currency volatility, is not good for manufacturers trying to sell to the EU.
It could be, but I also think, you know, the opportunity may also arise where, you know, if the UK will eventually become, you know, an independent trading partner again, and they're going to have to negotiate trade pacts or renegotiate trade pacts with the European Union and European Union countries. But that also provides an opportunity to have a much more narrow trade pact with the United States and eventually, you know, the states within the United States. So while it may appear a challenge on some fronts, it may also create opportunities on another.
Based on preliminary data, it looks like one-third of state lawmakers will not have an election opponent this fall. Our guest, Senator DuPont, is one of the lucky lawmakers who lacks an opponent, seemingly. Senator, what is your explanation for why more people don't run for office? Do you think there should be any other steps taken to encourage more people to run for the General Assembly?
Oh, I think, you know, part of that is a recognition that it's certainly, regardless of what seat you occupy, what district you represent, it's incredibly time consuming and it's incredibly demanding. And for folks that have their professions, their families, it is a significant commitment. And when you subject yourself to, you know, some of the criticism and some of the happenings that may, you know, happen around you as an elected official, some folks may simply say, hey, I'm not at that point in my life where I can afford to make the time commitment. And quite frankly, I may not be willing to expose myself to some of the criticism and some of the demands that with being in elective office are. And it's not just at the General Assembly level. I think it's also at the school committee level, which has an incredibly important job, at the city council level. And I think, you know, in part, it's because of the demands and some of the circumstances that you expose yourself to.
Would a professional legislature, do you believe, that paid more money attract more candidates?
It may, but I don't think we could simply stop at a professional legislature. I think it may be, you know, time for Rhode Island to have a very frank conversation with itself, not only about, you know, a full-time legislature, but whether or not, you know, other components, you know, two-year terms, for example, are incredibly challenging. And that may shy some folks away from running where, you know, you get to work for a year and the other year you're in constant campaign mode. So I think, you know, if the full-time legislature would be part, something to be explored, I think it's only part of a much broader and bigger conversation. But I think with the things that we've seen happen and with the demands of the issues, the complexity of the issues, I think it's incredibly difficult for a part-time legislator to really dig into to the extent that they need to when working on the issues. So
there's usually some disagreement between the House and the Senate at the end of the legislative session, and this year was no different. A package of bills that were intended to overhaul the probation system wound up not attracting support in the House. We had Speaker Nicholas Mattiello here last week. He said he was skeptical about how this legislation, in his view, was driven by a think tank, the Council of State Governments, and he questioned it, whether it was really necessary. What was your view of that legislation?
Well, it was not legislation that I was particularly involved with and frankly didn't get didn't pay all that much attention to, just given my requirements and responsibilities with, you know, with the state budget. I think at the end of the day, you know, the legislature, whether it's the House or the Senate, is a microcosm of Rhode Island, and folks have different opinions, different perspectives, different philosophies. And, you know, there was a lot going on this year, and some things simply just didn't get done. And I think that, you know, that's the beauty of the legislature, is that there's always next year. And so again, I don't have a specific opinion because I was not party to any of those discussions on that particular package. But, you know, I think, again, we're trying to continue to move the state forward. And if it didn't make it this year, I'm sure we'll be revisited next year.
Do you think that this internecine warfare between the Senate and the House is going to escalate come January or calm down?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, again, you know, each chamber has its respective priorities. Each chamber has its respective members with their own personalities and with their own goals and objectives and particular areas of legislation that they'd like to see passed. And naturally, like in any, you know, large organization, you have tempers at times and emotions at other times. And I just think that that's just, you know, that's human nature. But I think at the end of the day, whether it's on either side of the General Assembly and within the executive branch, I think everyone has a genuine goal to continue to work collaboratively to move the state forward.
We're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Senator Daniel DuPont, Democrat of East Providence.
Thank you very much.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.